Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are lucky to have Master Renzo Gracie and Big Chuck, first appearance on the show, I think.
Yes,
and
sir.
Of course, Stipe Miocic calls in, and we also have Kelvin Gastelum on the phone. It's a good one.
What does Stipe think about me getting in the Hall of Fame?
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Why are you waiting?
I wanted to pause because I know Matt has got so much energy.
What are you talking about?
See if he can wait three seconds.
I just had to get some out before we got on air just so I don't just start off too much and burn out.
That's okay. We only have an hour.
I burn out halfway through.
Never.
That doesn't really happen.
Never.
It never happens.
You gain energy as I fall
do. I do. I'm like a Nick Diaz or a Nate Diaz in the like. With this
yeah,
shit.
I'm like a
they
heroin
get stronger
junkie.
As it goes on.
Yeah, I talk for 5 minutes and I just nod
you
off.
Nod off.
Well, we have a very full house. We have Stipe Miocic calling in. We have Kelvin Gastelum calling in. Master Renzo Gracie is finally back in studio.
Yeah, did you just say
studio.
Master Renzo Gracie? Wait, hold on.
Don't hit the wrong button. Don't hit the wrong button.
Right, yes! Fuck yeah!
I'm afraid when you press the button.
I know. I'm afraid you're going to hit the wrong one. I'm going to
get
punched.
Get my glasses, Matt. Please.
Renzo looks so freaking young still. Yeah. But then he puts on, listen, I'm not blowing up his spot because people might not see this right now. But then he puts on like the reading glasses.
Yeah, that
and
kills
that totally
me.
Kills everything.
That
but
kills me.
But takes it right off. It's like you just
we're
got
back,
off the,
we're back
it's
in
like,
time.
It's back in 93 when he got off the boat.
That's what they say. Man is like a good wine. If the wine is bad, they rotten. If the wine is good, they become better with age.
Is that right?
Of course. Look at me. Look
you,
at you.
Do you dye your hair?
You're looking at
you
no, I don't,
hair?
I swear.
Renzo, look at me.
I want.
Renzo,
I
do
need,
you dye your hair?
I need a gray hair so I can look respectful.
You
want to
look, look like a respectful
yes,
older
yes,
gentleman.
Yes, a teacher, an older man.
That's amazing.
51, not one gray hair yet.
When Renzo Gracie met me, I used to spray my hair up with fucking Aquanet and shit.
Remember that?
I was like a little Guido. I had a Guido.
You were a Guido from Strong Island.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Yeah.
Wearing Capizios. Yeah.
Yes.
Dracar Noir cologne.
Yeah.
And who do you have with you, Renzo? We don't know everybody. You have Chuck. I don't know. I don't
think this is Big Chuck.
Big Chuck.
He's an OG.
Yeah.
He goes back from from the first class. Renzo's first class
literally.
Here.
And he was there with us. And not only that, he was one of the best cops I ever met. He ended up running the PBA in Middletown, New Jersey. And he's the guy who kept me out of jail for a long time. even when I beat up that guy in the gas station, he was responsible for convincing the judge that I was a good guy.
Oh, an unappreciated field of endeavor it was.
You look like Harvey Keitel. I'm sure you even told that.
He does. He does. Yes.
You have, right? And a cop, too. Show me how you suck a cop.
That's from a movie, Chuck. He's not talking to you. Chuck's
no,
not going to
no.
shit out.
That's in The Bad Lieutenant.
He just gave Jim a double look.
He's a Harvey Keitel on steroids. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at the size of this monster.
You ever see The Bad Lieutenant?
Oh, yeah.
Kit-Kat Club. So great.
He's like, seen it. I lived it.
Deja vu all over again.
How long were you a cop for?
20 years.
You were? And what got you out of it? You just retired or did you get
just
sick of
retired,
it?
Had it. 9/11 was kind of like a breaking point. I just wanted out after that. But my story is unique because I'm the only person in American history to be a member of a bona fide outlaw motorcycle gang. I mean, the worst one, according to the FBI, the Pagan Motorcycle. By the time I was 22 years old, I was one of the most notorious criminals in the East Coast. I went in the, I grew up like Leave It to Beaver. I was the Beaver, man. That's who I was. Then I went into the Army, the tail end of Vietnam War. All hell broke loose. I didn't go to Vietnam. It was worse. I went, they sent me to Germany in a rifle company there. There's a race war going on inside there. People didn't know it. I got out of it. I was so crazed. Next thing you know, bam, I'm riding with the Pagan Motorcycle Club. I'm a sergeant at arms. I'm freaking wreaking havoc like a maniac. I'm 22 years old.
So you were a police officer, Chuck.
He ended up being, that's how, it's the first time.
I know, yeah, I love it though. It's like a movie. It's like a fucking movie.
Well, we're hoping it's going to be a movie. You know, it's a. It seems to be a pretty good book. But what happened was 5 years after I left that shit with the bike club, this chief of police in Middletown, he was like a crazy man. He was a ranger in the Army. He liked me. He says, I'll give you a job, but you had felony arrests wearing colors, even in this town. So you got to get that shit expunged and I'll hire you. The police department I served in, wait, I was Chuck, arrested for a gang.
Chuck, let me ask you something really quick. How... Tell me about the switch. You went. There's a couple switches.
That's a big switch.
It goes from starting like Leave It to Beaver.
It's like El Chapo getting a job in the library.
There was a. I want to get to your book in a second too, because I know it's all in there in detail. So we don't got to get into everything. But I want to know. You switched to an outlaw like bike gang. What made you go back to the light side? You know what I mean?
Listen, man, some people call this a lateral transfer, man, from outlaw biker. But I was interested in police work because I had no vocation. I wasn't a mechanic, carpenter, I had nothing.
Yeah.
So this the kind of thing I thought I could be good at. Kind of have a problem, though, being an outlaw biker. I mean, arrested for two felonies. But I beat both those cases. If either one of them went the other way, I couldn't have been a cop.
It's amazing how little things like that make a huge difference.
Because I tried to plead guilty to the weapons charge, and they wouldn't accept it. They wanted to incarcerate me. I said, fuck it. Let's go to trial. And I won. And that was from a charge that was in the police department that I fucking retired from.
And he ended up running the PBA, the whole organization.
Union, yeah.
He protect all the cops, look after all the cops, you know? You mentioned him to any cop in New Jersey, they knew him. I said, Big Chuck, that's it.
Now he's a Henzo Gracie black belt as well.
Yes. Nice.
How long have you been training?
Well, since the very beginning, since Henzo came here, it was in 93.
Yeah, like, you began like a year before I came,
25 years ago.
Friends with Mike 25. Flynn, right?
Yeah.
The great fight, that fight at the first jiu-jitsu tournament we had, you and him,
Big Chuck was
that was fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, we had an in-school tournament when Henzo first arrived here, okay? So all the students came together, and it was also, they had some students from New Jersey. They had us in the city. That was pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
And then,
so it was just the shooters.
So I
just
went, so my first match was versus this guy named Mike Flynn, who's a tree cutter, right? Is that what
that's
he does?
Yes.
I still to this day, and I've been on the mat 20 plus years, never felt grips like this.
No, he used to choke people by just turning their collars like this.
Yeah,
and people couldn't break that grip.
We had such a. I wasn't used to competing. It was my first time ever really competing in something.
He's one of the strongest men I've ever seen in my life.
Is he still training?
He's still training. Yeah, still trains.
We had such a. He was a great guy, strong as hell. We had a nice, nice match, and it was
It was an unbelievable crew when I came here.
Yeah.
The initial ones.
How do you choke someone twisting their collar?
Man, I never seen that before. That was the first time I've seen this. Mm. You would grab the collar, start spinning.
Like you're wringing it out almost.
And people would think, oh, this is nothing. And then suddenly it was so tight back here that they couldn't break it up. And he goes, I used to do this when people didn't know my training. I would grab it, roll, and then the collars would choke him. And they couldn't break.
He was just holding the grip, not the neck.
I went to an amusement park with him. You know that thing of hitting the
yes.
bang, and then
yes.
you hit the... He grabbed the hammer with one hand and boom, bang, 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 bang.
It was one arm.
I have a story about Mike Flynn, but I tell you, blow your fucking mind.
Tell us, Chuck.
You want to fucking hear this story because it's one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen in my life.
Tell me about this.
When I was a member of the Pagan Motorcycle Club, it was about 30 guys in a bar.
Okay.
And it's a shot and beer joint. Some of the real psycho pagans from like upstate New York and West Virginia, but they're real bad dudes, right? So we're partying. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We hear this loud sound, people yelling, and Mike Flynn walks in. Now he was a biker in the sense he had a Harley, but he wasn't involved in any clubs. The whole hierarchy of the Pagan Motorcycle Club is in this bar drinking like fucking Russians, right? Mike comes walking in. His girlfriend kicked him out of the car. And he comes, oh, I guess I'm with you guys. Well, there was a guy that was the president of the chapter I was in who was a ferocious bad guy. Not bullshit, just naturally strong and very, very intimidating. But he knew Mike Flynn. But this guy always had a thing. Anyone who got near him at one time or the other was going to get sucker punched or something bad was going to happen to him. Inside that bar, Mike Flynn walks up to get a beer, and this guy, Jake, he backs with a back fist, Mike, right in the face and almost knocked him out. Just for the fuck of it. Oh. Right? Just for the fuck of it. So I saw this happen. I'm like, Mike's my friend. These guys will kill him. What's going to go on? So Mike bides his time. Then he waits till the chair to the left of this guy, Jake, who smashed him in the face, is open. He sits down in it. He takes his right arm, puts it around the guy like he's hugging him, like we're friends. And he throws a left hook right on the button and knocks this guy out.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. Mike's holding him up so he doesn't fall on the fucking floor, right? And no one in the Pagan Motorcycle Club saw this. I'm the only one that saw it. He knocked him stiff right there. Bam! Now, look, man, if they saw him do that, I couldn't have stopped.
You couldn't have stopped.
No, it would have been it would have been horrible if they didn't outright kill him.
That was unbelievable. One time, he's in the club. The guy start talking bad about the Gracies. You know, this Gracies, the grappling. This is for gay people. This is, you know. Suddenly, Mike Flynn gets up, start pushing the tables to the side on the bar. So people look at it. What is this? No. He's saying that they are pussies. They can beat me up. So you're gonna have to beat me up. The guy, you crazy? No, get him in the middle. We're going to square off. The guy takes off running, you know. Then he goes back drinking to his beer. He was always like this, you know.
Hardcore dude, man.
Yeah. He is, right?
Oh.
He loves really? Matt. Loves Matt.
Yeah, oh, he's a great guy. And his kid trains. I met his kid
recently.
Yeah,
his kids. He's younger one. He's been here in the city with us.
That's so
training
great.
Training here, yeah.
It makes me feel
little
kind of
Colin,
old.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
So when you got out, up to his shoulders.
When you got out, you got out of the Pagans and going, and all of a sudden you're a cop. You'd bump into those guys. Did they look at you like you're a traitor, or are they like, hey, we got one of our own?
Every one of them, fuck it. Anybody who was an outlaw knew who I was. But the shit what happened is, like, I would get calls from DEA agents, state police guys. Hey, last night we had a case, and there were a couple guys from the Pagan Motorcycle Club, and they were talking about you, man. And I go, let me guess what they said, that I was a psychotic butcher, big drug dealer, maniac, the worst, like, violent pagan. And the guy kind of looks at me and goes, well, yeah, how'd you know that they were saying that? I'm like, of course they want to discredit me, man. I mean, but I would get this all the time. I get a call, hey, these guys were saying this, but nobody ever threatened me or got in my face about it. It was like, you know.
Why do you think they didn't? I'm surprised.
Well, I'd bore you with the answer to
begin,
it,
look at his size.
Well, that definitely
it. but they have guys that would have dealt with me. I fell through the cracks. President of the club was doing a dime, 10 years in prison. And most people would never believe that I'd have quit this club. So no one knew where I was. But that's common for bikers in those days because you're charges. You know, you're hiding away from charges.
Right,
But listen, man, when I was an outlaw biker in the 70s, this is the best time period to be an outlaw biker you could possibly imagine. The feds hadn't done any inroads into the outlaw clubs. We could do whatever we want. And remember, there was no cellular devices. There was no surveillance. We were like the hole in the wall gang. I mean, like, we could do whatever we want and with very little interference.
What do you do now? I mean, besides you train, so you're retired, what do you do for work now?
I don't do anything.
Okay.
I live down in Florida.
He's relaxing.
I'm a reader, man. I'll sit down. I can lose myself in books for days. And I'm just
sends
loving
me
life,
books
man.
All the time. Hanzo, gotta read this one.
Do you read them?
Of course.
Hanzo loves
fucking
books.
Reads them, man.
Hanzo gave me my
I
first
was
book
the
to
only
read.
Guy who was able to get Matt to read.
Great. It's a great book.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a great book.
The first I knew book, that book was going to be
read. Yes. I can recommend another book to you, Jersey Tough by Big Chuck Bradley.
Yes.
I'm hitting. No, you hear that?
I'm getting him.
Hear that applause?
When someone can get a plug in, that was flawless. No, it's called Jersey Tough, and what is it about?
It's the story
why
I, you know, leave it to Beaver, who goes to hell for 3 years, comes out, joins the outlaw club. So what they did when I became a police officer is, like, after a year of it, they put me undercover and doing narcotics investigation. Not against bikers, because they all fucking knew me, but against, look, I did something that I don't think any undercover cop's ever done. I called the prosecutor's office up, and I said, I'm buying all these drugs from these people. What if, when they put the drugs out there, I don't pay them. I just take the fucking drugs. Is that the same as distribution? The lawyer goes, yeah, it is. He goes, it's just there's no money changed hands. He's selling you drugs. So I thought to myself, well, I'm going to save the taxpayers a ton of money. I go into this guy's having a party in this house, and I bring another undercover with me. This is how he sets it up. First, we walked in there like we own this guy's fucking house, chatting up the women, staring the guys down. My partner looks up on the wall, and there's something written in Yiddish on the wall. So he looks at it, and he looks at the guy, the other people in the party, and says, this looks like Yiddish, something like that, right? And the guy says, yeah. So my partner says, you know, my father, he died in Auschwitz. And the guy's like, oh, we're real sorry to hear that. He goes, yeah, he got drunk and fell off the guard tower. Right? So that's how this mood starts. I tell the guy, bring me all the coke that you guys are selling, coke and LSD. I'm like, fuck the LSD. So he comes out, bringing out more coke, more coke, more coke. Then finally his friend goes, hey, dude, you can't sell it all. Dude, fuck you. Don't call me fucking dude. I want all the coke, and I got the money. So I put my hand in, I had a Kansas City bankroll, 100 with singles behind it, right? So I got the fucking money. Bring the coke out. He brings it out, and me and my partner start stuffing all the coke into our things. Guy goes, hey, dude, that'll be such and such money. Fuck you. I ain't paying you fucking nothing. Suck my dick. You ain't getting no money out of me. And I'll tell you what. Not only are you not getting any money out of you, but if you bitch about this, I'm going to burn this fucking place down with you. And you got me? Yeah, okay. So now I got to turn my back to these people. It was the longest walk of my life. I think somebody's going to take a shotgun and blow my fucking brains out. But to tell you, I did that one. I wasn't going to do that too much often because that was your life expectancy.
What you should have done is told them, you should have got the money and then told them you were going to pay and then just taken it anyway. You would have made some money.
Yeah. I guess I missed an opportunity there.
Jimmy. So, Chuck, now in this book, it gets into detail about how you... what is amazing to me is how you're an outlaw and that transition and how they even approached you and everything. You don't got to get into it now, but that's in the book.
The story's in the book.
That's crazy to me. I don't think that could happen nowadays.
And ask who did the foreword.
That's not going to happen nowadays.
Ask who did the foreword for the book.
I heard the foreword was really good.
Who did that foreword?
Who did it?
Who did the foreword?
I just heard it.
The most handsome Brazilian guy.
How old are you now, Chuck? Because you look great.
Fucking 63 years old, man.
I'll tell you, these aging ex-bikers, look at Chuck Zito and the name Chuck.
These guys could be
cousins.
He sent me a message this week.
No?
He's coming back.
Chuck Zito?
Yeah.
He was in here recently saying he's training.
He's a sweetheart.
Yeah. Love Chuck. We love Chuck.
The best.
Chuck comes in here a bunch. Yeah. He's a buddy of the show.
Now, do you teach as well or no? Do you teach or just train?
I was, but I have physical problems with arthritis and stuff.
He was teaching him and self-defense down there.
Oh, yeah, I had a show on Fox TV. Listen, bro, this is the greatest thing. Most fun I ever had in my life, man. Yeah. They would let me come in 2-3 times a month to work with the two anchor women who were knockouts and the weather woman who was even more of a knockout. And they let me do whatever I want. Like, I could come in there and do a gun defense. One day, the three prettiest girls were there. It was one of those days. And I decided, and you'll love this, Matt.
I don't know, Chuck.
No, you're going to love this.
Actually, I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody went. Chuck, let me just tell you something really quick, though, before you finish your story. Dude, we're on air. No, Chuck. I don't know where you... It's not the fucking 70s, but I don't know where you're going with this. All right. No hairy bush stories on here, Chuck.
Pure's driven snow, brother.
Okay, go ahead. Sure, of course. I didn't doubt you.
So...
What time did we got somebody calling, by the way?
A couple of minutes.
Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
So these women, they're dressed to the nines, beautiful, gorgeous, blah, blah. I figured this is perfect time to work on rear bear hug.
Okay, Chuck. All right, listen to me, guys. Chuck, back to Chuck's days in the outlaws as a biker. All right, listen, we're not fucking, Chuck, I love you.
Well, hold on, he's teaching self-defense.
No, listen to me. I know that Chuck is my man, and I'm so happy that he's here. Chuck,
hold on,
wait, is this the first one? Is this in the book? You gotta do another book, Chuck, and I want to hear about this fucking news.
I want to hear. I want to hear about the rear naked choke on the South Florida weather girl. That's what I want to hear.
Let's talk about that during break. I'm not trying to be a fucking cop with this story, but holy fuck. Do you guys, who's calling first, by the way?
I'm going to call Kelvin Gastelum in 1 second.
Now listen to this, Henzo, because you are Brazilian and you are a master of all masters in jiu-jitsu. He's fighting Jacare, Kelvin.
Yes.
It's a fucking tough fight.
It's a tough match. This is going to be a tough match. But you see, Gastelum is tougher than people could ever imagine.
Oh, it's I believe.
He's a guy who, when people believe he was going to get his ass kicked, he goes in there, he delivers. He's dangerous to anybody that he faces, you know?
What's interesting is he does things, because we were getting Chris ready for him, he does things that are no-nos in jiu-jitsu, but he gets away with it. He gives his back up, yes. But he's hard to keep down.
Yes.
He gets belly up, and he's almost like a turtle.
Yes.
And then he ends up getting on top. You know,
it's so unbelievable. He's able to pull out things that you never expect.
But do you think he's going to, is this putting himself in a position like that with a guy as dangerous as Jacare? It's a very small margin for error there.
Jacare has an ability, a unique athleticism, such an athlete that he's able to keep the pressure for the whole fight. If you make mistakes like this, may cost your endurance, you know?
Kelvin is,
we got him on the phone?
Yeah.
Hi, Kelvin. Are you on with us?
Yes. I can hear you guys well.
Okay, you got Matt Serra, Jim Norton, Master Henzo Gracie, and Big Chuck.
What's up, Kelvin?
Gastelum, my man. Great to be here with you, my brother.
Thank you guys for having me on once again.
Where are you now? Are you down in, Rio?
No, I'm in L.A., running around doing some media today.
Oh, okay. So how long? We had Amanda Nunes, and she likes to travel 8 or 9 days before because she says the flight fucks her up a little bit. How long before you fight do you get to town, and how long do you need to be there for?
Yeah, I usually head out about 9 or 10 days before the fight.
That's good to get acclimated and whatnot.
Yeah, it's
too,
necessary
no
to do that.
Yeah.
The jet lag,
yeah,
the weather, everything.
Especially in Brazil, the time change, and just knowing that I'm going to be fighting at a different time and getting acclimated and all that, you know.
Well, you also hear, too, about the Brazilian fight fans are legendary for being... It's a very tough place to come in and fight. You have fought there before, correct?
Yeah, I fought there in March.
Didn't you say you would not go back?
Well, I had some issues with the commission. The commission is who I had the issue with. But, you know, when I got offered two choices to fight either in Brazil or in another country. And you know what? I love Brazil so much. I want to go back.
You know, they love you down there. You know, they love you the way that you fight, the way that you always deliver, you know, you have big fans down there, man.
Yeah, he didn't mean nothing by it. Don't treat him like Colby Covington. That guy didn't do nothing wrong. He just doesn't like the commission.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, a lot of Brazilians is going to be, you know, 50-50 in this fight. You know, I got a lot of Brazilians telling me, hey, you know, good luck in the fight. I support you. I'm Brazilian. But vai morrer.
Vai morrer.
What does that mean?
You're going to die. Vai morrer.
Is that what everybody else?
Yes. That's what they call. This is because they are soccer fans. Soccer fans always sing this. And when it's a fight, they always scream. It's a national, like a national anthem. Vai morrer. Vai morrer. Which means, you're going to die. You're going to die. Yeah.
They say that they're in soccer. So you can imagine cage fighting.
Yes.
I never knew. Is that the chant, the loud chant
yes.
you hear? Oh,
yeah.
I never knew what they I knew it was you were going to die, but I didn't know what it
is. That's what they chant.
Yeah.
But I like
the main thing with Brazilian fans, if you go in there and you fight and you show respect for the country, they will love you. They don't care your nationality, the color of your skin, where you're from, you know, they will adore you if you do go there.
Yeah, no, I had a lot of Brazilians coming up to me, hey man, I'm a big fan of yours, I respect you.
It's because every time you step on that cage, my brother, you deliver. You go for fighting. You don't go in there for, you know, to hold back and try to win by points. You go in there to try to knock someone out or beat the crap out of them. And that alone makes you a champion, boy.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, nicely said, Enzo.
And do you think the winner of this fight gets lined up for the winner of Whitaker Romero?
I think so, That would be the plan. That would be ideal. You know, the winner of this fight for the title later on this year.
And the amazing thing at that weight division, there's not such a thing as an easy fight. Look at the names.
Right.
Unbelievable.
What's going on?
Yeah, right. Especially at the top five. I mean, nobody's easy.
Yeah. Wow.
What's happening with you and Mike Perry?
What's happening?
You know, that was funny. He randomly, one day I was checking my Facebook, and I see a Mike Perry comment that, okay, I'll check it, and it says, Jacare is going to strangle you. And, all right, I didn't say anything back.
You see, I have a very good saying for that. You never do sex with somebody else's dick, you know?
Yeah.
So the guy wanna call himself a fighter, and then he goes and tries to have an orgasm with somebody else's dick.
Wait, well,
somebody else's penis. Yes. That's how bad it is.
You can't say that. You have
miserable people who do this all the time, you know? It's unbelievable.
Yes. He is a miserable person, I believe. So what happened, just to kind of mess with him, see what he did. I sent him a friend request, kind of just to mess with him. And the bastard actually posted it online and said, I'm not friends with anybody, and just kind of backfired, you know. I kind of look like a fool, but whatever, you know. It is what it is. He's just a miserable person. If he has to go on somebody else's Facebook and write those kind of comments,
definitely. It shows how little he is, you know. That's
exactly.
It shows he's not a fighter, you know. He's an entertainer.
What is the use to it? You guys are in different weights. What's the use of?
Well, he's buddies with Jacare. He trains with Jacare.
Right.
He trains at ATT or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, he's that. You know, listen, Mike Perry's got that outrageous type attitude. Kelvin's a different type of guy. Kelvin's a guy where he's smiling. He's always happy. But you put him in the cage, he's a fucking killer. His face changes, and it's like, oh, there he is.
And the
you
beauty, know what I mean? So. And the beauty. Jacare is a gentleman too. Jacare is a fighter.
Yeah.
He won't talk bad about you. In the other hand, he will raise you up. He will add value to you. You know, that's the beauty. That's real fighters. That's what fighters are all about. Yeah. And Jacare, it's a top on that. You know,
maybe that's what Mike Perry is doing, though. Maybe Mike Perry is saying things that Jacare can't say. So maybe he likes the fact that Mike Perry is saying that.
You see, like the difference is Jacare could say, but he won't.
Yeah,
because he knows.
I've never
you never heard him putting people down, or you know, he wants to fight. And he want to show his ability inside the cage. It's exactly like you. I never heard you talking no sense. I never heard you talking shit about others. You know, you go in there and you do it.
Now, Kelvin, with Jacare, now, listen, first of all, you know I love your fights. Who doesn't, man? You're always entertaining. But on the floor specifically, because I remember I was studying so much because when you had to fight Chris, you know? And, you know, you do things... out of the norm, as far as and big no-nos in jiu-jitsu, where you do sometimes expose your back, but you're very good at escaping it and getting a superior position. Am I hitting that nail on the head with that, or?
Yeah. Now, I mean, I guess I could. What I try to do is create scrambles, and within those scrambles, I kind of win. Sometimes I win a lot of the positions.
Sometimes that. No, you do. You do more than you lose the positions. But now fighting an expert like Jacare, I'm wondering if that changes the strategy at all. Because normally you give that back up, 9 out of 10 guys, they're not taking that back and finishing you, man. You're like me. You got like no neck. You're stocky. You can get out. Yeah. You have little limbs. You know? Well, listen, every body type has its advantages and disadvantages. You know? I love being a little fucking stocky guy.
No neck and little limbs.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's true.
I'm on the same boat. I got no neck and little legs.
And he gets out. Kelvin gets out great. I remember with Chris, like, don't get the hooks in. Stay on all fours. Try to just keep your weight on him and try to wear him down like that, you know? And Chris is a fucking beast.
Yeah.
But now Jacare, he might be in that 1% to like capitalize.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you thought of all this, but does it change your strategy at all as far as your norm with your ground game in there?
It just changes. Yeah. I mean, it just changes the kind of ground game that I work. You know, you know, and then I learned from that Chris Weidman fight, you know, so we just switch it up a little bit of the strategy there. Instead of staying down there, you know, we move to a half guard, to a full guard, like just recuperating guard, and you know, it just the strategy changes a little bit. Is all.
Yeah. Now, I my pal Matt is not on Twitter anymore, but you did tweet something about Matt. I don't think he has heard what you said about him going into the hall. Could you tell Matt what you tweeted?
I don't put him on the spot.
No, I'm asking because I don't have Twitter.
He doesn't know what he tweeted. He probably just tweeted when he tweeted.
Oh, come on, let him say it.
I said, Matt's changed.
Matt's changed.
Matt's a different man. He's wearing different clothes, driving different cars.
I fucking declined his friend request. I was a cocksucker.
No. What I said was Matt is more than deserving. You know, I've been around you. I've been around people that have been around you, and I've competed against your fighters, and nobody has ever said anything negative about Matt, and I felt like you were more than deserving of the Hall of Fame.
Definitely. I never seen a better award to someone than this one. You know, man, I know Matt for 25
Jimmy, don't hit that button, Jimmy.
I can't help it.
Jimmy, don't hit that button.
You deserve it.
Come on.
You
know? Kelvin, thank you
so
much.
Completely right, man.
Listen, I became a huge fan of Kelvin of course, from his fights, but I really became a huge fan when he was front row at the Laugh Factory when I was killing. Yes! You were laughing at my shit! Weren't you? Right or wrong, Calvin? Yours, I don't know if it was pity laughs.
Yours was the best set that night.
Matt was very naturally good on stage. He was really good, wasn't he?
I loved it.
He was laughing, though, because I'm like, oh, man. I had Higgin Machado was up there, Enzo, your cousin. Yes. He goes, like, oh, I heard Matt Sejas going to be doing comedy.
Adrian.
Yes, he remembers the bit. He remembers the fucking bit, Jimmy. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Jimmy, he remembers the bit.
Of course, it was a memorable bit.
It makes me happy. Thank you, Kelvin. But no, but seriously, your fight's what won me over. But that the fact that you did laugh at my shit made me really a fan.
Matt, please do more of that. Please do more of that.
No, I'm leaving that to Jimmy Norton. And his disgusting humor.
Yeah, I'm a pig. Matt at least kept it clean. Matt doesn't want to do stand-up anymore. I think he should. I think he's naturally very funny.
I think he should. I definitely think he should.
Thank you so much, Kelvin.
And Kelvin, one thing that is extremely important is the real fighters in our business are the ones who write history by choosing the right opponents, the toughest ones. And you, my friend, is always there picking the toughest guys to fight.
Yes.
You know, yeah, for man. Sure. Yeah. Yes, you're going to be remembered as one of the heroes that we have on this sport.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Thank you, Master Enzo. That means a lot. Thank you.
Enzo pumps you up. He pumps me up. That of the caffeine, Jimmy.
I think it's both.
I saw that interview you did in Canal Combate.
Canal Combate, yes.
Where is that?
In Brazil.
Companheiro safado.
Yes. Translate that shit for us, you guys.
Maconheiro safado.
You can't translate it by saying more fucking Portuguese, boy. What the fuck you say?
I don't know what that is.
Tell them, man. I got a... Rapaz, I should have a whip to hit you guys and put you guys in line. Unbelievable.
No, Calvin. It's all good now. We're all good now.
You're the best, my brother.
All right, well, good luck, Calvin. You're the co-main against Jacare. It's UFC 224, May the 12th. Amanda Nunes' fight with Raquel Pennington is the main event. And good luck, that's man. Right. You really are. Everybody likes watching you fight. And, you know, obviously, I think the winner of your fight gets the winner of Whitaker Romero. So good luck there, too, if you win.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you guys for having me on. Love all of you guys. And I hope see y'all guys around in the future.
For sure, my
man. Yeah, Calvin. Man.
Thanks, Calvin. Take
care. Good luck, Calvin.
Good luck, man.
Good luck, take brother. Care, guys. Thank
all
you.
Right, buddy. Be good.
Thank Have you. Fun in Brazil, my brother.
Yeah, he's thank a really, you, really nice guy. I mean,
you gotta love that guy.
Most fighters are though.
Different
most
types of guys. Oh, Mike Perry, Hensel, who he's talking about. Not to go to bat for him, but I do. I
like Mike.
I like Mike a lot.
I never met him. I don't.
You definitely, Hensel. You like him because he's he looks like a psychopath. And you like that? So you like him, but he is.
So he's
backing up his boy.
It fits exactly what we do. We don't run academies of jiu-jitsu. Yeah. We run mental institutions. Yeah. That's what we have.
You know who
fits right in there? Yeah.
Your brother Hayan would fucking love him.
Yeah, I bet.
He goes up, Mike Barry.
How did Nut once end up next to him?
He goes up to his last opponent, who was Ponzinibbio.
Santiago Ponzinibbio.
And then and he's going up to him. He's got like a big peacock kind of haircut. He's got like tattoos on his face. And he starts like sniffing around him. Dude, I don't know why it's fucking funny. I just fucking loved it. He's not trying to smell it. He's smelling, seeing if he smells any fear.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. Chuck, I don't know why I love shit like that. It's fucking great.
He's a character.
He's a character.
Yeah.
But he's good. He's good on the mic and he doesn't try. He's not trying hard.
You know, I am never really good at getting a Mother's Day gift. I love my mom. She tolerates me. She bought me my first dress. A wonderful woman. I love my sister. A wonderful mother as well. What are you going to get him? What are you going to get him for Mother's Day, Matt?
I know.
What?
I know, Jimmy.
What?
Shari's Berries.
Matt, a gift from Shari's Berries. It puts you right at the top of her list of good people. You got to put some thought into it. Mom is going to love it. Right now, our listeners can get fresh and delicious Shari's Berries starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Matt, how long does this last?
Jimmy, I'm going to get this for my wife. My mother passed.
I'm sorry, Matt. For this week only, when you double the berries for just $10 more, your gift will include something extra.
I love Shari's Berries.
I do too. Shari's super popular dip caramel pretzel rods will come with you for $10 more. Wow. Your berries are going to arrive in a Shari's Berries signature gift box with a beautiful ribbon. No gift wrap required. You choose your delivery date. It's guaranteed. an incredible, unique gift. It's perfect for sharing, though mom may not want to.
My wife might not want to, Jimmy.
Your wife might not. Yes, I don't have a wife, so I have to go with my mom or my sister. Yeah.
Sherry's Berries! I love Sherry's Berries!
Well, Matt, as you and I have discussed privately, there's only one way to get this amazing deal for mom. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99, plus shipping and handling. Remember, when you double the berries for $10 more this week, your gift is going to include an extra decadent gift of dipped caramel pretzels.
And remember, Mother's Day is May 13th, so visit berries.com today.
What are you waiting for? You suck at buying gifts, you always forget, then you scramble, you go to the pharmacy, you get her garbage. Get her something that she's going to love. Berries.com. You click on the mic in the upper right corner. You enter our code UFC because Matt and I are on our way to be drummed out of this job. So we need people to go to our advertisers.
That's BERRIES.com. Berries.com/UFC.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
Enzo, what do you think of this self-promotion shit when it's just so forced?
I really don't
know. Connor's good at it.
Because it comes natural to him.
Yes.
This is a gift like Ali had it. You know, it's not for everybody.
It's like, not for everybody.
No, you cannot do it. You cannot do this, you know, unnaturally. Connor has this on him, and he sells. That's why he sells well.
Yeah,
you know, he's a good product. That's the truth.
It's hard with these guys too, because the more you sell, the more money you make. So there's a reason, and like if you call for the big fight, sometimes you get it. So there is an advantage to doing it when it works. I mean, you call out the big fight, you get it, and you win, and you make more money.
Yeah, but it's nothing wrong with calling out a fight or having a name on your tongue ready to say and saying that you could beat him and you could best him. I'm just talking about overboard, just whether it's being just
lack
disrespectful.
Of respect.
Lack of respect, yes. For sure. Yeah.
How do you feel about
You have to understand, I grew up in a time where the fighters from different corners wouldn't be staying in the same hotel. We wouldn't attend the interviews together. It was impossible. The first time that happened was in Japan. I remember thinking, they're crazy. We're going to kill each other. That's why I end up stepping on the guy's head. Because the guy was calling my room. The guy insulted me first on the way in. And then he was calling my room until 4 o'clock in the morning. He put his wife to call my room until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ben Spikers you're talking
Ben
about,
Ben Spikers. So I end up, after I choke him out, I stomp on his head.
Hands up. And now, Jimmy, this is the first introduction that that the United States and the world got to meet this, you know, famous Royce Gracie's cousin, Henzo Gracie.
The better-looking one.
Yeah, exactly. So before Henzo, this is Henzo's debut. He was in this thing called the World Combat Club or something, right?
Yeah.
And it was WCC. It was very cool, but it was like the UFC. It was a right. It was a tournament where you get eliminated if you lose.
Had three fights in one.
Three
night.
Fights. So Enzo's first fight with this big time judo guy, Ben Spikers. And if I have the story correct, Enzo went to say hello to him and something like that, and he started mentioning about Enzo's eyes. Enzo,
yeah,
what happened?
He goes to me, you know, you have eyes like my girlfriend. I say, excuse me? My English wasn't that good yet. He goes, you know, I'm going to do exactly like I do to her. I'm going to fuck you tomorrow night.
He wasn't a good guy. This guy was a bit of a prick. And
for you to have an idea, the next day of the event, as he's boarding the plane, he ended up hitting an airport stewardess.
Yeah.
Hit a woman, he got
he's
arrested.
Nasty
so
guy.
If I knew that was going to happen, I wouldn't have stomped. I would have kicked him on the head, you know? But the next day he gets arrested for hitting an airport stewardess, a woman.
So Jimmy, so the world is used to seeing the gentle art, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu,
sure.
Hoist Gracie, this little guy taking on these big giants and with technique, and he's not even throwing that many punches. He's, you know what I mean? And so now fucking here comes cousin Enzo, aggressive as hell, and he fought this dude. He fought this Ben Spikers.
I was 155 pounds back then.
How much was he?
Huh?
How much was he?
Oh, they were like over 200 every single
he
one.
Was dude, and he was
oh, there was no weight class.
And, yeah. and,
no,
this, and listen no to me, class. He came out with a gi on this
and
guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Now,
yes.
What do I always tell you on the subway and whatnot?
Matt, nothing Matt loves than a good collar. A good thing to choke somebody.
It's a good choke,
with.
Yes.
And
you know the best.
Oh, that's a gift.
Well, yeah, what people don't know, before the fight, his manager came over and say, are you fighting with the gi or without a gi? I say, why are you asking this? And then he goes, no, because if you fight with a gi, Ben is going to fight with a gi too. I say, I'm fighting with a gi, of course.
Yeah, shows up.
Well, when we get in the speedos. I walk in with the gi. When I'm inside the cage, I pull the gi out. And I remember the Ben Spikers look at me like, what? And then I choke him out
he
with a collar
him,
choke.
Choked him unconscious. Yeah.
With the collar.
And then,
with the collar.
And then?
Stepped on his head.
Stepped on his fucking head.
Yeah, no, everybody. Matt, he did more than that. He got Spikers wanted to tap out, and he Enzo
I lock his hand, yeah.
And pushed his hand away.
So as he went to tap, I lock his hand.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So I would make sure that I was choking him out.
You can't tell Master Enzo Gracie that he has eyes like your girlfriend. You can't do that, Jimmy.
No, not
Jimmy,
at all.
You can't do that.
No, but no, that part not even bother me because I told him, I say, stop, otherwise you won't make it until tomorrow. I'll get you here in the hotel. Yeah. I know your room number. I said to him. But he made his wife call my room until 4:30 in the morning. And I was so afraid of breaking the phone or doing something. So I locked my phone inside my bag, wrapped it around with all my clothes and the towels. But I'm a very light sleeper. I could hear.
Didn't you just unplug? You could have unplugged
it. You couldn't unplug it. It was built inside the wall, the jack. I couldn't turn it off. Believe it. I try. I say, I'm going to have to break it in order to turn this off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jimmy, don't second guess Master Enzo, Jimmy.
Oh, I just want him to sleep better. I would have unplugged the phone.
I know. I try. He couldn't.
How good did that feel to step on his head?
It was unbelievable.
Jimmy.
And it worked because remember the big guy, the 265-pounder, that was a tough fight. He chickened out after he saw this.
Phil Benedict?
No, Phil Benedict.
You mounted him and beat the shit. He fought this guy who looked like a fucking He-Man figure.
Yeah.
He was a juice.
What's the name of the big guy? I forgot.
James Waring.
No, James Waring was the last one.
He was the boxer.
The world champion boxer. Yeah. But there was one guy that pulled out. That's how Phil Benedict came
out.
Bart Vail,
that's the guy.
The 265-pound,
So you shoot fight again.
Yeah, it was a funny thing because one time I was in Brazil and I see this TV show about this American guy that goes to Japan and beat the crap out of people and shoot fighting, and he was 265. He goes, the Japanese a bunch of midget, 150 pound. I just kicked them out of the ring, and I look at him. This was 11:30 at night when I was watching this show. I stood up, I put my shorts, and I went for a run for an hour. I say, one day I'm gonna fight this guy. Fate brought me on the event with him. I did the cover of Black Belt magazine.
I remember.
And I said, I can't believe. Fate gave me him, you know.
And this guy looked like a monster,
day,
Jimmy.
He pulled out of the fight. I couldn't believe,
You don't know what
you
this guy looked
fight
like.
Him.
Oh, yeah.
You
Yo, looking forward
Get
to
Get a picture
him.
Of Bart Vail up there if you can.
You
got to see what this guy looks like.
I remember they put me to take a picture with him for Black Belt magazine. They put
I remember
a box.
This. I
they
remember
put a huge
this.
Box so I could stand straight. And he had to spread his legs.
Look what this guy looks like.
Head level with me.
Look what
you know?
This guy looks like. Yeah. Make that bigger for everybody.
Oh, yeah, he's a big guy.
Oh, yeah, he's 265 pounds. Yeah.
Wow. Whatever happened to that guy?
Huh? Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He fought in Japan a lot. He's still in Florida. I think he teaches in Florida.
Does he?
Yeah.
Matt, he was at a fight with you and Nikki had it in Elizabeth.
Well, I said, I said, you know, a story's true when it never changes. I said this story before, not even that long ago. After my fight, I took a lot of the fucking rip fucking fuel on my ephedrine where my heart was fucking
200 miles an hour.
I asked Enzo, because, you know, Enzo's been around forever. You know, Enzo, what do you think I should do the day of the fight? You know, what should I eat? What should I? He goes, this is what you do. Go to GNC, get one of those ripping fuels. Take one of those. You feel good all day. I don't know what the fuck. Yeah. So I started popping them like fucking Skittles. I was ephedra.
He was shaking.
I took this dude down and I fucking strangled him. It must have been in 10, not even 10 seconds.
It was quick.
But there was rope escapes. Yeah. So the guy grabbed the rope.
He goes up, go back up.
That's right. So then I did it again. I mounted him.
Because
those
are the
rules
of shoot fighting.
Yes.
Remember?
So there's no striking. And this dude wasn't bad. He was trained under, like, I think he was with Lloyd Irvin and them. And so he kept his arms in tight. He was getting sweaty. But I was getting tired quicker than usual because I took all that fucking ephedra.
I told him to take one. He takes seven.
I don't know what the fuck, man. I was a kid. So then it went to the fucking decision. But I won. I dominated the guy and I got that submission. So at the end, Bard Vowell is one of the judges. And he goes like this. He's pointing like himself and over to my corner. Like he's giving it to me. So Henzo gets up because it was a little bit, they stopped for a second instead of raising my hand right away. So Henzo wanted to make sure it was going to me. So he looked over there. So he sees Bard Vowell motion to himself and over towards my corner. Henzo fucking sprung over to that other side of the fucking, I was about to jump him.
Yeah, man.
And then, no, I'm giving it to your guy.
Dude,
like a fucking switch. Smiling, went over like a Brazilian psychopath about the fucking.
I couldn't understand what he was doing. I thought he was saying that his guy won. I'm a man. That would be the last fight that day. If that
is there any truth to the rumor that you have a short fuse at times?
Of course. I'm a righteous man. You do what is right, I'm with you 100%. I go to hell with you. But you don't do what is right and you show no respect. Well, you know, the other day, I gave this car to my son. A beautiful Mercedes convertible. A C63S. Beautiful car. 500 horsepower. Unbelievable. I gave the car, my son let me drive the other day. I park in the gas station. I pull over. I ask the guy to fill up the tank. The guy goes, when he closed the door, the guy goes screaming to the other guy on the other pump. It's a nice car. It's a very nice car, but it's a chick's car. And I heard, and I look at my son, and my son's the most sensitive kid I've ever seen, most polite.
He's so great.
He's unbelievable.
Yes.
So my son looks at me and goes, like, I go like this. You know, there's four guys.
Four guys in the gas station.
I said, there's four guys here. Can you do me a favor? You watch just the last two, because I don't think this first one here will jump in. You watch the other two. Just keep them at bay while I beat him up, and then I'll get the other two. My son looks at me and says, Dad, it's not necessary. I say, watch. I open the door, and I say, you're completely right. This is a chick's car. You want to see the size of the vagina they were having here? I say, he goes, no, man. I say, why are you talking shit? Why are you talking shit and loud? You try to insult me or my son? This is a gift that I gave to my son. Oh, you gave to your son, so then it's okay. It's a young guy's car. I say, why are you calling me old now, you motherfucker?
Yes!
I say, I'll beat the crap out of you. And I know this old man is not going to jump in. And the old man goes, fuck no, I'm not jumping in.
How awful is it to get caught talking shit?
You can't listen. Know what it is? Most people won't. A lot of people aren't saying anything back. Just out of fear, intimidation.
Yes.
And they're summing it up. They're looking over there.
And I've seen Matt do this many times.
Well, listen. Henzo took me out of my shell. I was so quiet when Henzo.
It wasn't me.
I mean, Henzo made me a warmer type. I used to be a little bit more like a Henzo used to sick me on people when they come in with bad attitudes. But like that was it. I was like, he used to love it too because I was this little enforcer. But Henzo got me to open up as a more warmer person. Seriously. Right. I used to be Jimmy. I wasn't always so
believe,
warm.
This guy was a problem. I saved him.
He did. He made
He's
me.
A gentleman.
See how warm Henzo is?
Yeah.
I got that from my instructor. Because I was, and I used to be a little angry.
And you know the worst, in the end, when the guy brought my card back, I gave him $5. And he goes, oh, I said, my man, don't insult people out of the blue. I said, the devil is almost passing around. And you step on his tail. I said, the only reason, to be honest, the only reason I didn't beat him up was because I felt he was a good guy. When I step out and I went, he wasn't a nasty guy. Maybe he was a little jealous because of the car, you know? And he had that comment, but I could sense that. And that was the only reason I didn't charge him, you know?
Does your son train?
Yeah.
Oh, he does train. Okay.
He's a good kid.
He's got good hands.
Believe it, when the problem comes,
So he could have watched the other
of
guy
course,
for you. Okay.
Yeah, he could keep them at bay time enough.
But it's the wit. The wit.
Yeah.
With, hey, you want a girl chick's car? You want to see the size of the vagina in this car?
When I see the size of the vagina of the chick driving this car. Yeah, yeah. And I grab my genitals and I start shaking. It's unbelievable.
when you're with three guys and one guy is grabbing his dick at you, that's a problem.
That's a fucking problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
And another one was the other day, I went to film for Gala. We're doing the Gala now, the school online, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm filming until 1:30 in the morning. We finish that. We go to grab a bite on the Mustang Harris that we go there many times.
We're going there today, no?
We're going there today for
sure. Thursday.
Yeah, be ready. So, as I'm leaving the place, three guys approach me and they go like this. Hanzo, can we have a picture? We are big fans of you. Can we have a picture? Just say, for my pleasure. I put them together. I hugged them. We took a picture. Then I look at the bartender. There is one of my students. I go to him, please give them a shot and a beer. Whatever they're drinking, on me, please. So they give. This is happening. Luca and the guy from the filming, they walk out. They walk out of the bar, the restaurant. So as I'm falling, I'm closing my jacket. It's cold. I'm closing my jacket. And as I walk out, they were having an argument with a fellow there. There's a guy and a girl.
Did the guy have a horn?
Yes.
You told this story last time.
I told this.
I fucking love it.
I'm getting crazy. I told this last time I was here.
I fucking love it.
They deserve it
we're
again.
We're cheering this. No.
I love a good horn story.
Really? Listen to me. You know a story is true when it never changes.
Yeah, that's
how you know. Hanzo, tell.
You know, Luca regrets he didn't film. So as I walk out, and I'm looking, Luca and the other photographer is arguing a little bit with the guy. The guy was a big fella.
Yeah.
And the gal, and they were going nasty. And then I'm walking, I say, what happened? I didn't realize, you know? So I'm closing my jacket. As I get close to them, the guy pulls one of those air horns, and he honked right at my ear.
Motherfucker.
Wow!
He was a big guy?
Yeah. When he honked that, because you have to understand, I'm from Brazil. If someone does that to you in Brazil, he has at least 15 people looking at his back. It probably people with gun. So when he horned, my first reaction was, champ, this is not polite. And I keep looking to see. I said, he's by himself.
look at his face. He's so happy.
I go, what is this?
It's like Christmas. It's a gift.
And then he looks at me. He goes, and what the fuck are you going to do about it? I say, look, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do about it. You give him the horn. I'll play in your ear. And I'll keep the horn because you're not responsible to have this. And you can go. He goes, no fucking way. I say, or I'm going to beat the shit out of you and take the horn. This is it. His girl goes, you're not doing shit about it. And then he goes, yeah, fuck, you're not doing nothing about it. I hit him with an open hand on the back of the head with a left. And it was funny because, you see, this watch is $10,000. The one that I had that day was 16.
Right now?
I'm sorry.
We have to stop.
Well, hold that though. We got Stipe Miocic.
Heavyweight champ. Yeah, we're getting back to this.
We have to stop everything.
When you smacked him, we're stopping it. We're getting right back to that.
Hey, Stipe, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Good, buddy. You got Matt, you got Big Chuck, and you got Master Hanzo Gracie, who was just telling us how he slapped the shit out of a guy holding a horn. It's a great story.
Fantastic.
How you doing, buddy? You feeling okay?
Oh, I feel great. What's going on?
Hey, good job, by the way, watching The Ultimate Fighter this year. And how does it feel being a coach? Have you ever coached people before?
No, I haven't. So I was just trying to be help these kids out and do the best I can. So I know I brought other coaches in who are good at it. And, I'm still getting my feet wet and learning. And it was fun, though.
Well, is it harder or easier than you thought it would be? Because you've been coached your whole career. How is it actually being on the other end of it?
It was harder just because I want nothing but the best for the kids. I want them to win every fight. So it's just tough when they lose because there's nothing you can control. Like when I fight, I can control it with those kids, you know, you can't. You're not in there. You can tell them what to do, but just hoping they do it, that's the problem.
It's funny, Stipe, because, you know, I was a coach on there too. And it's funny that short in the 6 weeks, you kind of, even though they're not your team, you do kind of get a like, you end up caring for these guys and get attached to them, though.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you're with them every day. You know, you're talking to them, you train them all the time. And, you know, you find a personality and you see how they are and how they train. And you just, you know, like, just become friends. You become, you know, like a family.
What is your relationship like with DC? Because it's, you know, you're both such nice guys, and you know, you have to fight, but you seem like you get along on the show. You don't seem like there's any real animosity.
Yeah, I mean, I got a real animosity towards him. You know, hopefully he doesn't have it towards me. But yeah, I mean, he's a good guy.
But your strategy for him has got to be a lot different than it was for Francis Ngannou, because, you know, Ngannou, you put your weight on him and kept him down, and that's probably going to be a lot harder to do against Cormier.
Oh, yeah, you know, he's an amazing wrestler, but, you know, we're not wrestling, we're fighting. So, you know, when I walk in there, you know, July 7th, I have an amazing game plan, where I walk out there and, you know, walk out and feel like I will be. Like, I know it will be.
Now, Stipe, the fact that DC never lost at heavyweight, I mean, listen, you should have confidence, you know, out the freaking kazoo, man. Look what the fuck you've been doing lately. But the fact that he's never lost at heavyweight, what does that tell you? Does that, like, say, all right, you know, I don't know. Does it bring a different kind of awareness or pressure or anything?
No, man, he's a great fighter. I know he's a good fighter. You know, there's a reason why he's bumping up, because he thinks he can beat me. And, you know, like you say, you know, he's been undefeated at heavyweight. But, listen, I fought a lot of good guys, too, and a lot of great strikers, and, you know, and first wrestler I'm pretty much really facing. But, listen, I have the best coach in the world. When I walk in there, I'm not going to worry in the world. I'm going to do what I do and win that fight.
You, oh, sorry, get
no, 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 I was, you know, I literally was just going to ask a nonsense question about my buddy Gian Vellante. Now, listen, He was in Vegas. Was he out there just chasing, you know, looking for dates, or was he helping out on the show at all?
You'll watch.
He'll say everything.
Knew it.
No joke. I literally dropped off the airport this morning at 6 in the morning. He was here for a week and a half training.
Yeah,
I tried to deal with him for about a week and a half. Oh, it's terrible.
No, Vellante's such a character. He's made for reality TV.
And, right? After the last fight, Ngannou said that we might have asked you this last time you called. I don't remember, but he said that he had underestimated you, which I thought was shocking that his coaches would allow him to make such a stupid mistake.
That's a stupid comment, actually.
But he admitted it, which I was respected the honesty of saying I underestimated an opponent and he beat me.
Yeah.
What do you think that is? Do you think it's because you're a quiet guy or you're a respectful guy? People don't understand what it is you're doing in there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't care. It's, you know, it's a terrible time to find out when you're in the middle of acting with someone that you underestimated them.
Yeah.
So, wrong spot. Wrong spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care. Listen, I feel like that's every time I fight. You know, I feel a lot of guys don't think I hit hard or I move as fast as I do, or if I'm strong and I'm athletic or good anywhere. And when they get in and they realize that, you know, all their worst nightmares come to true. You know, when I start doing everything that they thought I wasn't good at.
And, you know, you always credit your coaches. It's the first thing you always say. They got the greatest coaches in the world. You have complete faith in your coaches. What is it that they do, besides give you good advice, but what is their way of being with you that is so effective?
It's just our family, you know, atmosphere. We all know our place. You know, no one steps over anyone's, like, steps on anyone's toes. You know, no one feels like they need to take charge. We all have a role on a team, and it's just great. It's just, it works so well. It's like a finely tuned machine.
Now, this is a weird question, and this is just out of my own fucking weird curiosity. Now, I'm friends with both you guys, so it's kind of weird for me. Now, everything goes great. You know, you keep the title, and then who puts the belt on? Now, is Dana going to try to put it on again, and you're going to hand it to your coach, or what's going to happen with that? This is what the world wants to know.
So, when I do win on July 7th, you'll find out.
Oh, shit! I'm buying. Listen to me, Stipe. This fight sells itself, but if it didn't, I would buy it just to see if you're going to let Dana put the fucking belt on. That's going to... Listen, he's not cracking. He's not going to tell us.
No, he won't. But we asked you to... It seemed like you had like a bit of an unhappiness with the way you were being treated, or the way you felt you perceived you were being treated. Do you feel any better about that now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it heals over time, but, you know, it's changed a little bit. But, you know, I'm not, you know, it's what I have a manager for and a good team behind me.
My brother, just keep delivering what you deliver. They're going to have to get there. Believe it.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, Mr. Gracie. Thank you.
Yeah, believe it. You deserve it, man, more than anybody.
I look at it like Stipe's got his close group of friends, and he's not trying to make enemies, but I don't think he gives a shit if he's making any more friends. Right, Stipe?
You like, seem happy with your friends list, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm real tight with my friends. Except for Vellante, I feel bad for him because he has to be part of the team. But, I like you know, close-knit, man. It's high roll.
And you haven't, it hasn't seemed to have changed you at all. It's like you seem to like going back home and living the life, and you don't seem to have been changed by where you're at all.
I just cut my grass for the first time yesterday. That was like the greatest day ever. My new lawnmower, I was so happy.
You like doing that?
He does. Oh, yeah. Snowblower last time.
It was amazing, man. Oh, it was so amazing. My new Cub Cadet, oh, loved it.
And you were featured in a Modelo commercial. Can we ask you about that? I have not seen the commercial. So do you have dialogue in it, or are you just drinking in it?
No, yeah, I'm just, you know, do a little bit of fighting, a little bit of firefighting, and you know, me doing a cheers with the beer.
I forgot you are a firefighter. I forgot that until you just said that. Are you still doing that actively?
Yeah, I worked 2 days ago.
And I have to be honest, UFC goes poor on that. This should have been said everywhere. Not the advertisement. Every time they bring Stipe's name, they should have put there that he's a firefighter.
It's in the Modelo commercial.
Yes, finally.
Yeah.
Finally, you know?
Yeah. Only 7 years later.
You know? Yes, Stipe. Yes. People like him is what make America great, man. We have to promote that and sell that. That's what really matters.
Do you think, Stipe, do you think they don't like you doing it because they're worried that, you know, you're going to hurt yourself doing it? Or now that you know, you're a heavyweight champion, you're on a defense streak, that they don't want you doing that anymore?
I don't really care if they want me to do it. I'm going to do it because I work really hard to become a firefighter, paramedic, and also I like helping people. So, I mean, listen, if you want to...
You see, and how can you not capitalize on that?
Yes.
You know, this to motivate the young generations to become like him.
It's like a superhero.
Yes.
Heavyweight champion, still fighting fires. So you've run into...
He's a paramedic, too.
And a paramedic. So you've run into a building and pulled somebody out of a burning building.
He pulls a cat. Imagine a person, man. You're out of your mind. You don't know how those guys work.
How happy are you when you're in a burning building and you see Stipe right in? That's gotta be a nice feeling.
You know you saved, you know?
Yeah. You know he's throwing you over his shoulder, Jimmy.
You know you're surviving. That's the beauty part.
If there was a burning building and I've seen, like, I had a choice between, like, say, like, you know, fucking Stipe or fucking Jimmy.
I don't blame you.
I would go, you know, the champ.
Matt, only Stipe could carry you out.
I don't think Jimmy's going to get me.
No.
Look at your size.
I think I'd be burnt alive.
No, I'd probably lean over and go, any last messages? And I'd run back out the door.
Should I send a message to someone? Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And you never think of stopping doing that, right? Like, you never get to a point like, okay, I've been healthy for a long time. Have you suffered any injuries doing that?
No. No, not that I know. I mean... pretty much my ego, because they just destroy me, make fun of me, and all that. But that's about it. My self esteem goes down a lot, but that's about it.
Is that one of the things you like about it? Does it really just kind of keep you grounded and keep you like remembering this is where I came from? And is that one of the reasons you enjoy it?
100%. It's like a brotherhood, man. These guys, you know, if it's a medic call or if it's a fire call, you know, we go in together, we come out together, and I just love about it. You know, we sit there. We train together, we laugh together, we have jokes.
They become your family, for sure.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm in a baby shower, and I think like 6 or 7 of them, why is it coming?
So when you actually stay there for 3 or 4 days? How does that work, like with the shifts? Didn't they have like a couple of days where you'd sleep there?
And well, full-time is 1 day on, 48 off, so 24 on, 48 off. But I'm part-time, so I pick my schedule a month in advance. That's why I can be able to train full-time. So, I mean, I work like 3-4 times, like 2-3 times a week. So, I mean, the most I ever worked was like 60 hours straight.
And when 60 hours straight, how many fires were there? How much time were you actually in the firehouse, and how much time were you actually out fighting a fire?
That time sucked because I was on a holiday, so no one wanted to go to the hospital. I mean, I had one call. It was the worst. But, no, we get a lot more medical calls. Plus, I'm a younger guy in the crew, so I get a lot more. I'm more on the medical. I'm more on the squad. Dying on the engine, but and now with the fire suppression and stuff like that in buildings, it's, you know, fires don't happen as often.
Now, being a paramedic, what does that qualify you to do? Like, I know it's a stupid question, but you can obviously perform CPR. How advanced does your medical training go?
I give drugs like morphine and stuff like that, a lot of stuff. I can start IVs, stuff like that. It's mostly just pushing drugs.
Oh, okay. How do you prevent an air bubble from going into somebody's heart when you inject them with a needle? Because isn't that everybody's greatest fear, that you got to do something to keep an air bubble from going into your vein?
Well, I feel that. Well, It has to be a big part of it. Yeah, it's going to be a lot too. But yeah, when I do a catheter, I put it in, and then I stop. I plug it. I guess that pressure on the vein so it doesn't bleed. And before I put the vein in, though, I take the tubing and I let the water run out so the air bubbles go out, and then I hook it up, and then we're good.
By the way, is that the stupidest question you've been asked as heavyweight champ? I'm curious.
I was going to say, he's not going to get this question any other time.
He's planning to get sick soon, I think.
Well, I'm fascinated by it because it's like, I can't ask him, what are you going to do against DC? He's not going to tell us. Yeah. I mean, we know what he's going to try to do.
These guys, they prepare you for the doctors to arrive at the hospital. So they do. They can take care of everything until you arrive at the hospital. They make sure that you are fine, that you are healthy until you get there, and they deliver you.
Yep. Well, you're a fascinating guy, Stipe, and you're a great champion, and you're a humble champion, and there's nobody I've ever talked to who does not like you or who does not enjoy watching you fight. But you're fighting a guy who everybody loves, too. I mean, DC is really a well-loved guy, so it's kind of hard to pick who I like more. I do see you winning just because, you're the heavyweight champion, and you're the main event, UFC 226, July 7th from Vegas. That's an incredible card. That's also got Max Holloway, Brian Ortega, Ngannou against Derek Lewis. I mean, the opening fight is Anthony Pettis, Michael Chiesa. So that's an incredible card.
Awesome. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, I will too. Matt's being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Matt Serra, you know that, right?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yay.
Yeah. Thanks, Stipe.
Thank you. Treat me like fucking Vellante.
I can hear his shoulders going up.
I guess they're putting everybody in. Stipe's defending his belt fucking 20 times. He's like, I guess when I get in, it's not that special now. Thanks, Stipe. Stipe, you're keeping me grounded.
All right.
All right.
Good luck, man.
Thank you, buddy.
All the best, Stipe. All the best, brother.
Good luck.
Bye, guys.
Take care, Stipe. Well, listen, now it's on record. I'm 100% going for DC.
Well, you haven't asked DC what he thinks,
though. I'm 100% going
for DC. DC hasn't commented yet.
And not only that, I don't think I'm going to let him train at my place anymore.
Let's see what he says.
First of all, the guy visits, he plays at the... Listen, I think he was just overwhelmed with emotion about me being in the...
He's shy on the microphone.
He's shy on the microphone, so he just said... You know what he did? He said almost like he almost sounded like Al Bundy. Like,
he didn't want to cry.
I like that you brought it up to him.
I did.
And the response was just so genuine. In other words, he knows right now he's probably got how much more press to do. So you asked him about that, and he just didn't even want to try.
It's the same.
He treated me like he treated Dana when Dana went to put the belt on him, and I'm upset with it, champ.
Listen,
fuck that shit.
No,
Team DC.
No, here's what.
Team DC.
He reacted the same
way. Team
DC. That's the same way. If I would have said, "So did you step in shit in your yard?" He would have went,
Jimmy.
Same reaction.
It's not like he was super excited about mowing his lawn.
So excited about his.
He was really happy about cutting the grass.
Yeah, he was. Best joke Chris Medusa ever fucking.
He loved cutting the grass.
He gets so excited.
I
made the UFC Hall of Fame, and he just gave me a. Yeah.
But you know why I believe he did that. when you are a real fighter, when you in there fighting and pushing
it's
yourself,
the worst thing ever.
Yes, but Matt, you have to understand. They, in reality, he sees any award like this, it's like little, you nothing. Don't get, you know?
You know
it's like
you,
Spartans you, used you to have. You know, every after battle they won, they had a rock that they would throw in the corner of the room because that was their award. They didn't value that. Yeah. They valued the next battle. So in reality, he's like, okay, any award, we can get it. In reality, I think the same way.
You know what I love about this, Jimmy, is that Enzo, he loves me so much. He doesn't want me to have my feelings hurt. That's what he's doing. Right? I know if he knows me since I'm a kid. Enzo, I'm okay. I'm a big boy. Yeah, I think I know Stipe. I think he's trying to make a joke, but instead he just shit on my whole fucking career.
No, he didn't mean to.
Listen to me. Before, Jimmy was the best. A lot happened to show, and that might have been the fucking best thing so far. But listen to me.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, fuck, I'm cramping. And I have to have Master Enzo, because you know what it is? A lot of guys are going for fucking leg locks nowadays, right? Yeah. Enzo, now I seen this on his Instagram. He showed it to somebody, I believe, over in Abu Dhabi, and the guy went in the tournament and took a fucking guy's leg off when he went to go try to get him in a leg lock. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Right? I'm gonna right now look to put what do you gotta do? Take a fucking piss?
No, I wanted to ask you something.
What?
He was smacking somebody with a horn.
Oh fuck! Oh, and then we're getting back to the technique.
Yes. Right, I just didn't want to forget. Right,
Jimmy, you know I got the memory of a fucking
goldfish.
That's
okay. That's what I'm here for.
All right.
I'm here to remind people.
Now listen, the guy with the horn.
So
you smacked him.
Go ahead.
When I smacked the guy, you know, when I smacked the guy fell on his fore. He landed on his fore. The moment that he landed on his fore, his girlfriend threw a punch at me that I was able to move my head out for an inch. She missed it. And then I hold her and she's still trying to punch me in the face. And I say, honey, honey, look. And the guy's taking off running on his fore. And he dropped the horn on the floor and he take off running on his fours, you know, to the corner. And I said, look at you, look at you. You're a beautiful girl. You can't go walking around with a bum like that. Look, he's running on his fore like a dog. I say, and you're a good looking and an angry woman. You could have great kids. Go find yourself a good boyfriend. As I'm saying that, she takes off running. I grab the horn. The three guys that I paid the beer and the drinks, they came right out, guns on their hand. And they were cops and badges. I said, oh. And the guy goes, we saw everything, Hanzo. We're gonna be your witness. I say, guys, there's only one chance I'm going to get arrested. Is if you guys arrest me. Otherwise, you guys have a great night. You have any PBA cards? They start laughing. Yeah. I turn around and laugh. And I have the horn that my grandson plays with all the time. Oh, yes, I have it at home. I have it at home, you know?
I love stories of guys who are talking shit and who make that mistake. And then there's a moment where they realize, oh,
And the best, Luke Atala goes to me, Hazel, why did you hit him with the left? I say, you didn't see that his girlfriend was right behind him. So if I had hit him with the right, he would headbutt her on the way back. I say, I couldn't do that. Even though I think this is an expensive watch. So when I hit, I look at my wrist because if you broke it, I want to find it back. You know?
Fuck.
Yeah.
See, you probably, you're such a big guy, you probably don't get that much because people look at you. Never, they don't say that to you.
They leave the big guys alone. They leave the big guys alone. I was always the little guy, so they pick on me a lot.
A lot of times people say, you know, you're big, 250 pounds, you're black belt and karate and all that stuff. You could probably give Hanzo a really good fight. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. I can't even start the fight with this guy. It's people just don't understand, you know. And that's the beauty of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It leveled the playing field.
It does, right?
Matt, speaking of
I'm
that.
I'm always fascinated with, like, Matt never cares. Like, Matt will talk about a guy. I'm like, you don't care if he's big? He's like, no.
No.
I'm always frightened of big guys.
When I met Matt, he was fighting Tough Man Contest, heavyweight. They got him out of bar. He took second place. Now you took second place?
Yeah, I took second place. I was 18.
Your jaw still makes the noise.
Yeah.
Look.
Mr. T was the referee.
Mr. T was the referee.
It was at the Palladium. I showed you the clip of it.
Yes.
With me, I had a mohawk.
The guy was lucky you didn't knock him out, the guy who won.
Yeah. Yeah, I got tired that
he
last one.
He hits like he has hammer on his hand.
Yeah, Matt's a very strong guy.
Jimmy's looking at me crazy why I took my socks and shoes off. The reason why I did was
I was going to ask for a massage.
He doesn't even need to ask. He puts his feet up. I know the drill.
I put it right on Jimmy's lap. I didn't want to. I want to go over a technique with Master Hanzo that I've been seeing him do, and I want to put it in my arsenal. The beautiful thing about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I'm preaching a lot about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu on here, I can't tell you how many people reach out to me saying that they started training because of this podcast and how enthusiastic I am about it.
Yeah.
But you never stop learning. I've been on the mat fucking 20 plus years. I'm going to learn something new today. And I can't wait because I love learning things from my master.
Should we film it? You want to film it?
Fuck yeah. Jimmy, that's not even a question. Come on.
Let's go, my brother. Matt, wait till he gets his camera up and good. I'll get out of the way.
I mean,
the
Hanzo,
no,
you
know what I'm talking about.
No, I want to get out of Hanzo and... All right,
Jimmy,
and
play-by-play.
Okay, Matt is barefoot.
What I'm looking to do, okay?
Hold on. Is there a mic you can hold down by them, Chris? Matt's on his back.
Like, I'm going to
attack. He's going for a regular foot lock.
Chuck, do you want to... You might be better at this than I am. You want to narrate what they're doing? Because you'll understand these moves better than I do.
Hanzo, get the mic. I want
Hanzo to... I can't get a free mic. I'm trying to get a mic off.
We are right here. Matt is attacking me with a leg lock. He goes for a heel hook, and it's the traditional position how everything is set up. He goes right under, he hooks right here, locks me there. In reality, the defense of this move was always to turn around and leave, push the foot on his butt and get out. You know, I had a fight against Matt Maris Perry in the Abu Dhabi back in England, and when I finally took him down, I end up on this position, and I did the traditional. When I move it away that I go to come back, he was standing again. So I end up losing that fight for points, and I remember thinking, when you did the escape, you went away. If you run away from the fight, you deserve to lose. So I say, I need to develop something that we're going to be able to attack. It doesn't matter where you are. So then I was able to design this attack that is incredible. So basically...
Can I just say before you do it?
Yes.
There's one time you taught me a defense from here, and when you did it, you popped my fucking ankle. Henzo!
No,
I gotta think the
I'm going to give him love. I'm driving him home if he needs. Don't worry.
But that's how you taught me. All right, go ahead.
So right from here, I learned instead of turning around and running, I push here, look, forward.
Okay.
So that locks your hip. You can't attack me. Then I reverse.
Oh,
man. Yeah, and then it's extremely nasty. You know?
That is really nasty.
I grab your foot, right? Okay. Even though it's out, I push towards your face, look.
Good.
And then locks you on the grass.
Yes, it does.
Then I replace the hand, look, right there.
Yeah.
And the pressure here is insane, you know? It pops your knee and your ankle. I break both of them.
Watch the way I get up.
Please. You got to do worse.
Okay, now Matt's going to show him.
So, you have it here.
Right here.
Okay.
How you do?
Now, with the grip is here?
Right there. Push
now,
forward.
Now, pushing it almost
like
you're going to pop your knee.
And now, switch the hand.
I got short
arms. You're going to replace it just like this.
Okay.
And then this one goes here.
Yeah, boy. Oh, fuck!
You know? Yes.
Now, hold on. I'm not going to do it all, but...
Just... Instead of just putting the pressure here, pull your...
Pull up my elbow.
Yes.
That's it.
That's fucking...
And I lose completely my hip motion.
You know what?
I can't move.
I want to do this again.
Please.
I want to do this again really quick. So I'm here, and you're grabbing here.
Yeah, just push forward. Towards me.
You're pushing forward.
Push a little pressure of the knee.
Yeah.
That's
almost
it.
Like, now, I'm reinforcing it. Now you're here.
Yes, one. Under.
Oh, under.
That's the fucking key. Yes.
That's the key. I'm grabbing up high, Henzo?
Yes, perfect.
And now, as I go forward, the elbow.
Yes, that's it.
Fucking nasty.
It's
you know what I usually, when a guy's got me here, what I would do would
you
be
try
turn
to push,
here,
yeah,
and I come
step
here,
over.
And the fuck out.
That was always like, but when we did this, we gave them room to escape. You know? From here, it's done. I can't move.
So again, here.
Boom, yeah, push.
Matt's pushing.
Yeah,
his leg
here. I can't move, look. I'm
and
stuck.
And with this one, if you said
under.
This way?
Under, yes. Perfect.
Are you fucking serious?
And then the
pressure. You know what I'm going to do with this?
Oh, man. It's
see how I hardly even moved?
And
I do that shit all the way?
Lay down here. Lay down.
Take
sit down. Sit
down. Put down.
You can do the same thing
even
if
here?
You are in the 50-50.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like playing this fucking game.
Yeah, even if you're here.
Even my little legs.
Poof, yeah, you push here. It's right there. Boom. Boom, here. Or with this one. Boom, boom. Right there, look. Anywhere you put your hand, you can control right here, look. Boom.
That's fucking beautiful.
You know, so go right on this one.
So if I'm going for this one.
Yeah, push my foot
towards
here.
Push it this way.
Switch
now,
hands.
Switch hands.
Switch hands.
Go
under. Yeah, it's done.
Done.
Yes.
Whoa. I fucking love Jimmy.
That's fascinating
Jimmy,
to watch.
I'm getting a new toy, Jimmy.
This is an unbelievable move. And the best, you don't need to stay away from the guy. You don't move away from him. You go towards him. That's the beauty, you know?
That's that alone.
Yeah.
That alone
was worth the
is
day.
Worth Master Henzo.
It was worth
wow.
the day.
Coming in. Because Jimmy.
That is nasty.
And not only that, there's some moves I learned where I'm like, yeah, that's good, but it's not for me. That's for me.
Yeah.
I'll fucking take a foot right off. Oh, Jimmy! Jimmy!
Matt,
hold on one second.
His natural ability, I never see a move that would have fit him.
No,
that's the truth.
Henzo, I had a good instructor.
Well,
Matt,
when Matt grabs your foot, you can see Matt's not letting that foot go.
Oh, dude, that's a
look
that's
at those
great,
guns.
That's a great.
Yeah.
That's why it goes on so hard. When I seen that, where was that dude? Was that dude from the? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I showed that move in a seminar in Brazil for the first time.
That's where Brazil?
In Brazil. Oh. Then this guy goes to fight in Barcelona when I was there. He goes in and wins the fight with that move, and then I go, man, that was impressive. He goes, yeah, I learned from you in Brazil. You show me this, and I came here and finished the guy.
Wow. I seen that on the on his Instagram. And I go. I'm stopping after here one day. I'm grabbing Henzo, and I'm gonna have him show me. Just show me that fucking thing. So now it's a win-win. So we got him in here, and I got to learn it.
So you okay? A move like that you come up with. Does that happen while you're training, or you just think of it and go, I'm gonna try that?
It's funny because I think about jiu-jitsu all the time. All the time. Even when I lay down and I'm watching a movie, I review everything. And a lot of the movies, sometimes I'm at home and then when I sleep, I wake up with a solution. You know, I go to sleep thinking about a situation and I remember I was so pissed that when I was fighting Zamaris Perry in England for Abu Dhabi, that he was able, I say, if I put him down once, I'm going to be able to get him. I'll be able to win this fight. And when I put him down, my foot ended up on that situation. And I did the traditional, which was to turn and move away, to pull my leg out, to be safe.
Yeah.
And in reality, I should have gone after him instead of doing. So then I say, how can I go after him instead of, you know, make him defend? And then I develop this footlock. And
when, it's insane. When you go to pull away like that, is there a way they can hold you there so you can't pull away?
No. It's my man. If you get that thing there, if you make the grip, the fight is done.
No, no. I mean the traditional way. With the first way
is no. The traditional no. You can get out anytime. Like you can. The defense is because the position, the way that he tries to twist you, helps you to get out. So it's easy. You put the foot on his butt, turn facing the other way, and you get yourself out. You pull your leg out. Oh. He can't hold it.
But Jimmy, that's great if you want to get out and you don't want to play that game. But in this, you get good at this. The guy goes for your leg. He loses a foot. And you, so it's yeah. like, yeah, that'll teach you. Right. That'll teach you.
And not only this, but I have to show it again after. When you push the foot and you square his hip, if it's an MMA fight, all that I do is I push your knee, I land mounted. I forgot to show you this. So the combination is you go for the foot and then he tries to resist, you push the knee, you mount it. Straight from a leg lock to be mounted.
Enzo, now, what I notice nowadays, and I'm sure we touched on this before, and I don't hate on anything new. I don't look at it like new school, old school. Everything evolves. And
definitely.
Guys, you know, the game just get, you just get, it gets more sophisticated, but at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, taking limbs, okay? Yes. But when I watch submission grappling, sometimes it turns me off in a sense where because there's no striking, there's no it loses the goal of gaining that position of getting mount, getting back,
to control, be heavy,
100%. Like I used to see matches when you used to compete Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Abu Dhabi and even guys of your generation, Fabio Gugel, Marulo Bustamante, it doesn't have to be the same camp.
Yes.
But if you watch them, Jimmy, in their grappling matches, gi or no gi, you know, it doesn't, it resembles their MMA fights on the ground.
Yeah, the reality is,
does that make sense?
Back then, we couldn't make money doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know, jiu-jitsu was the amateur part. Back then, I always thought that I would have to have another job to be able to run at a jiu-jitsu academy. I never thought I could be rich out of
it. You think it was going to be your life, right?
Yes. And in reality, I knew that I need to do MMA because that was the professional side of my jiu-jitsu. So every train we did, the way that we trained, the way that I taught you guys, was always to go towards MMA. I knew there would be a field in the future. There would be a college in life, you know? And today, the jiu-jitsu became so popular, the kids don't need to fight anymore. They run the whole world doing seminars, teaching classes here, there. They make an unbelievable living. So they become champions on jiu-jitsu. They don't need to do nothing else. So it's even, if you look, there's very little people like Jacaré who actually came from jiu-jitsu and is going to the MMA.
Yeah.
All the main champions today, they are not fighting MMA. They're avoiding to fight MMA.
They're
teaching.
This
is insane, yeah.
They don't need to.
And it's funny because that happened to boxing too in America. You know, there was a time, there was the Irish. Then they start getting good jobs. They stop getting the tough people to go in the, to be fighting in there.
Yeah.
Again, then became the black guys.
Yeah.
Now all the black guys have jobs and they're good and they don't need it. Boxing is a tough sport. For you to be able to go above all the others, you need to really put your time there and dedicate your whole life to it. And they say, why am I going to do this? I can make a good living out of my regular job here, you know? And now that's why it's so hard to see new heroes in boxing because it's such a tough sport and people have another option to make their living, you know?
Boxing
same with jiu-jitsu, yeah.
Boxing is also screwed up too because they don't give you the fights you want. The promotion in boxing has screwed that up a lot too where you want to see this fight and they just don't make it happen.
They make it the way that they want it, yeah. They make it the way that is good for their pockets and this is a problem.
Yeah, and then the fans lose interest and by the time they do fight, it's like, oh, fucking who cares at this point? It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. I know where we're going now. Me and Master Henzo, Chuck, Big Chuck, Frank, we're going to go to Mustang Harry's, right?
Where's Please. That?
Mustang Harry's or Sally's?
30 and 7. Mustang Harry's.
Harry's.
Yes.
And
would sound better if it was Sally's.
Mustang it would.
Sally's. Actually, he owns Mustang Sally's a block down.
I know. That's why it screws me up.
That's why the name is the same. Yeah.
We're going to have such a good time, Jimmy. You're invited.
I would love to. I'm recording something tonight, so I have to go home and write.
But Mr. Henzo, every time I ask him out to eat, he always does that shit.
No, really?
Oh, I got
What's
his thing.
With you?
Because on Wednesdays, he asks me, I record a podcast, and then I do a show, and then Monday Mondays are my busiest day. I have to go home and get ready. I do a show after.
No, no, Chris the producer, you had something you wanted to say about a fan or something?
Yeah, so a fan named Chris Deep, XDeep13 on Twitter, sent a video, and it's perfect that Henzo's here because...
Well, that's Chris Savarese, no? We know Savarese.
Yes. Oh,
I think that may be super. So this is a video from back in the day. It's of you, and maybe you could talk
back
through.
Back in the day when I was young, I'm not
you'll
a kid
see.
Anymore.
So he was just wondering if you could kind of explain what was going on here. I don't know if you remember this situation.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah. This is from a Naga tournament back in...
Explain what we're looking at here, people.
Yes.
It's my Bob Sapp. That's not me. It looks like Bob Sapp. It's a big gentleman. Big black gentleman, just giving the details. And look at the rips. Look how ripped I am.
Yeah.
You had hair, man.
I know. And abs.
So this guy tweeted and said that this guy was talking shit to a younger student.
Look at his shorts. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The guy was talking. You know who he's talking shit to? This big guy. For people at home, we're at a Naga grappling event. And this is back, I think, in 2000 or something. And there was this big dude that was picking on this brown belt of ours at the time named Danny Ives. You remember Danny Ives?
Danny Ives.
Yes. You remember, Jersey kid.
Yeah.
He was on the Ricardo Almeida. And he was kind of messing with him. So I went over there, and the guy started talking shit to me. So Kip Kolar, who's always the master promoter, hey, you guys want to grapple? I go, hey, I got shorts on. So I took my pants off, and here we are. I'm grappling.
In front of a lot of people.
Yeah, no, yeah, but let's look how this thing ends. We're looking to, see, I'm taking my time.
This guy's big, and Matt's very low.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm taking my time.
Matt back then was like 155.
Yeah, this was probably me walking around probably around 165. But it looks like I'm on juice. Look at the
shit. Yeah, you do.
I didn't eat pizza too much back then. I was just
You're holding
training.
The back of his head, and then you just drop down.
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to come on top of me, there we go. But look, I'm fast. Where am I going?
What, you went for
I went for a leg. He's a big fat guy, though. I'll tell you, he didn't have a bad sprawl, this big fat guy.
Nice and
strong.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I'm looking to get a hold
he's
of him.
For your team?
Oh, yeah, I'm protecting the neck, looking to get for a duck under. But then this is like an anticlimactic though, because look how I'm going after him.
You get the hand in the back of it,
and then watch.
What happened?
The police get involved. Look at that. See how he goes to put his arm around me, like, "Hey, no, it's good, we're friends." I can't get your hand off.
Why
me,
are the
dude.
Police there?
They got. They thought it was. I don't know. I basically
thought it was a real fight
because people started going nutty. And
the police broke up a grappling match.
They jump into the competition.
So they stopped it because they thought it was getting the crowd was getting a little too crazy. So they stopped this thing. But that's what was the question was what was going on?
I guess, what was the situation?
He was picking on a smaller Henzo Gracie affiliate student and one of Cardo Almeida's guys.
Yeah, I miss Danny Ives.
He's a nice kid. Nice kid. I'm sure he's still teaching. I think he's with Julius Park somewhere teaching.
Yeah.
Big shout out to those guys. They're some old school guys. But
I think he's in Naples, Florida, Matt.
Is he in Florida?
I think so.
I'm way
yeah.
off. All right. Nice, great guy. I would say nice kid. Back then he was a kid. Back then I was a kid. But listen to me, Chris the producer. What do you think? I became a fucking superhero yesterday? I've been defending the week.
This was the fourth that made an amazing champion. Like Matt Sarah.
Listen
and
to
if
me,
you guys
want to
see
do.
The video, it's Matt Sarah versus Big Guy, controversial match, Naga.
The police breaking up. These were the good days.
Yeah.
That's when Big Chuck will come to fix it, everything.
Yeah, if you give me enough money, I fix it for you.
I want to give up Chuck one more time. How could we tell us about your book? One more, tell us where they can get it and the name of it and where they can get it.
The name of the book is Jersey Tough, My Wild Ride from Outlaw Biker to Undercover Cop. You can get it in Barnes & Noble sells it, Amazon sells it, there's reviews, bloggers have hit it. And just as a quick thing about it, I got a huge blast from Publishers Weekly, and they said it was wildly entertaining, true crime writing, its very best. But I met Lisa Pulitzer of the Pulitzer family after this book came out. She came over and hugged me and said that the review that Publishers Weekly gave on your book is better than any of the 8 New York Times best-selling books that I did. And she goes, I can prove it.
Big Chuck, this could be a fucking movie. You realize that?
That's what we're trying to get. We've got some interesting offers already.
I already got the book to Guy Ritchie. When you come over, we're going to introduce you to him. Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's a Henzo Gracie.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
He's a black belt from us, yeah.
I didn't know he's a black belt.
Yeah, yeah. And there was another very funny situation.
You're like the Brazilian Clark Kent with those glasses on. You realize
can
that?
You believe, can you believe?
Now you're a fucking superhero. You put that on.
Look.
I go, sir, what's the matter? You need help across
yes,
the...
Yes.
He takes it off. Look at him now. I'm not fucking with that guy. I'll tear my foot off. Go ahead, Mr. Henzo.
You know, the other day, when I gave the black belt for Guy Ritchie, was on his premiere. For 9 years, he was a brown belt. He said, I only received the black belt from Henzo. people tried to give it to him along this time. He came here for the premiere of A Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
And I went to the premiere, and Henry Cavill was the main actor on the Superman, you know? So the Superman buys a house in Florida, and he moves there to start working in America a lot. And he finds out there's a Hansel Grace Academy. Stan has a school in Weston, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So he calls Weston, and he goes, look, I train jiu-jitsu under Master Hansel Grace. Can I come and help teach one kid's class? They go, of course. You train with Hansel? Come on over. You're my guest. You're our guest.
Yeah.
He shows up dressed as a Superman.
Who? Wait, what?
Superman.
Oh, Henry Cavill. Does he?
Shows up at the academy dressed as a Superman and help teach the class for the kids.
How nice, the kids.
Awesome. How cool that is.
Wow, right? That is so cool. Yeah. Oh, by the way, next time you talk to Guy Ritchie, I saw that King Arthur. Tell the motherfucker he owes me $9.50. Fucking, I seen that shit. I seen that fucking thing, like, and I fucking hate it.
You're killing.
He owes me some money. It's not like the shirt. Listen, Sherlock Holmes all day long.
The best.
A sequel. Hey, make another one. Yeah. Robert Downey. Listen to me, the fucking kid from the Sons of Anarchy, and all of a sudden there's big elephants. Boo, Guy Ritchie. I'm a sorry guy. I'm a big fan. Hanzo Gracie, brother. I'm sorry about that. But listen, man, I can't wait.
Everybody, he's burning my connections.
I'm only kidding. Listen, I'm so happy to have you guys in. Our day is just beginning. Jimmy's is ending. He's getting tuckered out.
Just one little thing. I'm going to be doing a seminar.
Plug it.
Up in Albany.
Put those glasses
on. Something very new. I'm going to be doing this seminar with John Smith. John Smith, it's going to be half wrestling, half jiu-jitsu. John Smith is the best wrestler America has ever produced. He has 2 Olympic golds.
Dan Gable's got something to say about that. Yeah, I'm only kidding. Gable's famous, but Mr. Enzo, you are bad.
In terms of results, he's better. He won 4 times the world championship, and he has 2 Olympic golds. So I'll be teaching with him in Albany on the 30. I don't know the location yet. I just closed this party yesterday, yes.
What's your Instagram, Enzo? Because I'm sure you're going to post it on.
June 30.
Oh, June 30.
When it gets closer, I'm sure you're going to post it on your Instagram.
Yes. I'll be back here before that.
Henzo, what's your Instagram again?
It's Renzo Gracie BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, BJJ.
Oh, you say Renzo so they know they're going.
Yes, they go for R, not an H, you know? It's like respect.
We have Henzo, you gotta start coming in more often.
I will do it, brother. I was 2 months in Switzerland. Then I came back, stay a day, had to go to Abu Dhabi for 15 days. Came back, went straight to Chicago the next day to go for Bellator for Neymar's fight, you know? Neymar's doing great, his 7th win straight. And I taught a seminar there for 130 people, then back here.
It's a fun life.
Henzo never stops. He never stops.
I barely sleep.
Thank you. It's always great to have
you.
It's
my pleasure to be
back
here with you guys.
Thank you.
And I'm going to get the recipe from Matt because he's looking too good. Look, if I could have guns like that.
I know.
Gun. Don't look at my right arm. Anyway,
and,
Jimmy.
Big Chuck, thank you very much.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure of my life to be here with you guys.
He was looking forward to see you. You don't understand. Yeah, Matt.
Let's get a picture, man. All right.
I'm going to be in Orlando.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
That's okay. Friday, I'm in Orlando. Saturday, I'm in Fort Lauderdale. And then I'm back. So if you want to come see me, come see me.
No, it's not about you want to come. Go see him.
I definitely go see that.
Oh, yes. Mr. Henzel will take your fucking foot off.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
All the best.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.